like to turn to the book of Exodus, looking at the fourth commandment, which guards the Sabbath day. Read verse 8 through 11 again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So we have two commands there in verse 8. We're to remember the day, and we're to do something with it. That is, we're to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Again, it's a special day. It's the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, the Sabbath, thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So he blessed the day, makes it special. He hallowed it or set it apart. We've already seen that the first three commandments really lead us into the fourth. The first three commandments state, the first commandment states that it's all about God. The second commandment states that there is no other than God. And the third commandment states that we are to reverence God. This God that is spoken of in the first three commandments has blessed and set apart a particular day. And from Genesis 2 and verses 2 and 3, we see God gives us a pattern concerning this day. And we read four things about what God did on this day. He ended his work in the context of the other 6 days. He ended his work. He rested. We looked at that last week, what this rest involves. He blessed the day. That is, it's a special day. It's a day of delight. It's a day of joy. And then he sanctified it, or he hallowed it, set it apart from the other 6 days. We want to look this morning. We see that God blessed the seventh day. Again, this is not said of any other day. It was a special day. It was a special day for special uses. We saw last week in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, that it was a day designed as a gift from God to man. Mark 2, verse 27, is a day for our benefit. It's not a day to inflict misery upon us, to rob us of blessings. It is a day for our benefit. It is not only a day of rest, but we saw in Exodus 23 and verse 12, it's a day of rejuvenation. That's true physically, that's true mentally, and more importantly, it's true spiritually. Again, God blessed the day, not just part of the day. He blessed the day, and then he set it apart and sanctified it. Once again, he didn't just set apart a portion of the day. He set it apart from the other 6 days. He set it apart from carnal uses to sacred uses. And we are commanded to keep it holy. So that leads to the question, how do we do that? How do we keep that day holy? We don't make it holy. We're to keep it holy. God's already made it holy. God has already set it apart. We are to keep it set apart. Man keeps it holy by resting from worldly employments and recreation. That's one way that we keep it set apart from all the other days. God has set apart the Sabbath day for Himself. It's a day set apart for Himself, and it is not to be used for that which is common. It's not to be used for worldly things. It is a day that is worthy of respect. It is a day worthy of deference and devotion, not given to any other day. God set apart a specific day. There is teaching that has gone around for some time that it doesn't really matter. You just set apart whatever day. No, that's not so. It does matter. God set apart a specific day, and we are to keep it holy. Now, the aspect of the commandment, that is to keep it holy from as far as resting from worldly employments and recreations, that aspect is stressed in the Scripture from the positive. It is our duty to labor for 6 days. It is our duty to work. Throughout the Scripture, work is commended. And slothfulness is always condemned. We see in Genesis 2, in verse 15, that God commanded Adam and Eve to keep the garden, to dress the garden. In other words, He gave them something to do. There's another teaching that goes around from time to time that work is part of the curse. That's not so. That's not so. Before man sinned, God gave Adam and Eve something to do in the garden. We see in Proverbs, of course, there's much to be said about working. There's much to be said about sloth. In Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer." The ant provides its own food. It does so without someone telling them, without any guide, without any overseer, without any ruler. "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want has an armed man." In the Bible, one did not become, was not supported by the state, by the government, for being lazy. That's true today. And I'm not saying that everyone that receives a check from the government is lazy. That's not what I'm saying. But many are. They're just too lazy to work. And the government encourages that. Part of this command is that we're to work 6 days. That's part of the command there in verse 9 of Exodus 20. In Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34, we see another example of the sluggard. We'll not go there for time's sake. But in Proverbs 28 and verse 19, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. He that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. In other words, he that wastes his time with vanity will have poverty. That's how it should be. Proverbs 31, verse 27. Proverbs 31, verse 27. Speaking of the virtuous woman, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. That you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. And then 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 10 through 12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now notice that if any would not work, doesn't say they can't, that's different. They would not. That is, it's a deliberate choice they have made. Well, we've got to help them. Neither should they eat. If they do not have enough concern to help themselves, neither should they eat. We read in verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Man will always fill his time with something. If someone isn't busy enough, they will become a busybody. So we see part of the command is, 6 days shalt thou work. And some has a defense for their breach of the Sabbath. We'll say, well, the Bible commands us to work. Yes, it does. But it also commands to observe the Sabbath day. We're to work for 6 days. And then that Sabbath day is different from all the other days. So we see the command is stressed as far as keeping it holy, that we're to do our work 6 days of the week. It is also stressed from the negative. Notice in Exodus 20 and verse 10. Exodus 20, verse 10. Again in verse 9, 6 days. Shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. And then he goes on and gives the example of creation. So man is to work, but there is a limited time for him to do so. For example, the Lord forbade the Israelites to gather manna on the Sabbath day. In Exodus chapter 16, if we turn there, Exodus 16, verses 26 through verse 30. 6 days, he's given instruction for the manna. Ye shall gather it. But on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. That is, the Lord wasn't even going to send manna on the Sabbath. It came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. We see in verse 29 that the Lord giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. In other words, you're not going to lose. Well, I can't afford not to work on the Lord's day. And the Lord knows. No, that's not so. The Lord blesses. The Lord supplies. The Lord provides so that we can honor the day of the Lord. God would not have His day defiled even in the least thing, even in the smallest of things. For example, in Exodus 35, in verse 3, "You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day." There's a principle that's being taught there. Kindling fire was a very small thing. And God is teaching us here that even the small things, it is a day set apart for the Lord. Another example in Numbers chapter 15, verses 32 through verse 36. Again, the principle being that even in the smallest of matters, this commandment holds. "And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks," very small thing, "upon the Sabbath day. And they found him gathering sticks, brought him unto Moses and Aaron and all the congregation, and they put him inward," or in jail, "because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses." We see there were several occasions when people were stoned to death. And again, a principle is being taught that even in these small matters, it certainly mattered to God. I mean, if someone loses their life for gathering sticks, who are we to say, "Well, it's just a small thing, it doesn't matter"? Go talk to the man who gathered sticks that day and tell him that. It does matter. And these are the principles. That's why the consequences of breaking the law were so severe in the Old Testament. God is teaching us a principle that it matters, and that there are consequences to these things. God would not have His day defiled even in matters of great importance. We see that He would not have His day defiled in the least of things, but He also would not have His day defiled in matters of great importance. For example, in Exodus 31, we see even when it came to building the tabernacle, that's a work of great importance. The Sabbath was to be observed. Notice in Exodus 31, and, well, it goes down verses 1 through verse 17, but beginning there with verse 12, he speaks to them concerning the Sabbath. And in verse 14, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall be surely put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done." Again, this is in the context of building the tabernacle. "But in the seventh day it is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Again, it shows that it is a day not only of rest, but a day of rejuvenation. So we see we're to abstain from the work of the other six, of the previous 6 days. We're to do our work in those 6 days, and then there's a special day. And that day is to be kept. That day is to be kept separate. God does not say that if the world does not observe that day, my people do not need to observe it. We're to keep it holy, no matter what the rest of the world does. There's a day, and we'll get to this later, what day it is. But there is a day that we have a responsibility to keep holy, to keep separate from all other days. And we ought to thank God that He's given us such a day, because it's for our benefit. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, that we can be in Your house. We thank You that we can come into Your presence, and we pray that You would meet with us today in a very special way. Lord, we pray for the lost, that You'd speak to their hearts, open their hearts to salvation. We pray, Lord, that everything we do with this day would be pleasing in Your sight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.